All right. Well, so let's get started here. All right. So here's a couple of interesting stats for you. According to Gartner, by 2020, 85% of the interactions between businesses will be executed without any human intervention at all. And what that means by extrapolation is that of the 18 million or so people that there are that are salespeople in the U.S., there'll only be about 4 million left. So the good news about that is that most of those are business-to-business salespeople, but the prediction is corroborated by the BTS Global guys who predicted something similar. They said 40% of the B2B sales force won't be in selling in 8 years. So we've got this phenomenon. Now I'm going to tell you what those drivers are here in just a second. So here's what you're about to learn is you'll learn what those drivers are that's causing those two consulting groups to predict that. And then how we can, because I'm in your same boat, right? How do we avoid that fate ourselves? We don't want to get downsized. But before I tell you the rest of the agenda, let me ask you a question. Would you guys say that it is, that prospects are less responsive than they have been in years past? Yeah, raise your hand. Right? How many have you been in sales more than 2 years? Okay, almost everybody. All right, so by raise of hands, how many people think it's harder now than it was, say, like 2-3 years ago to get an appointment even, right? Or get a call back? Yeah, I would agree with you on that. So what I'm gonna show you in this presentation is how to make a major tweak to the way that you're selling now. And it'll jet you past this big hurdle that's the driver that's causing those two predictions. It's probably the biggest hurdle right now. And then it'll give you the freedom, and this is the good part, to sell anytime, anywhere, any place, whether the customer has a buying process going or not. Okay? So do you know anybody here shopping for a car right now? Statistically, one or two of you might be. Anybody buy a car in the last year? Okay, so I have 4 or 5 of you bought one in the last year. Okay, well, sales must be up, right? All right, well, the truth is, if you just wait for someone to have a problem so they wanna shop, then you're looking at 5 to 7% of the market at any given time is actively in purchasing mode. That's a very generic statistic. But what you're about to learn is how you can sell to the other 93%, okay? Which should give us some options. And then the upside is you won't have to try 10,000 things like I did to figure out, right? Instead of learning 10,000 ways to fail, I'm gonna save you a little time today by cutting to the chase, okay? All right, so there's 7 key points in this presentation. This is number 1. And that is that the internet changes everything. Now, some of you may have seen this statistic before, but the Corporate Executive Board did a study back in 2011. And what they learned at that time is that businesses or customers are about 60% of the way through their buying process before they ever reach out to a salesperson. Has everybody heard this statistic before? Okay, this is a big deal. It's a big change between, if any of you have been in sales for more than 5-7 years, this is a big difference between what it used to be like and what it's like today. So those of you who raised your hands when you're buying a car, I know that Michelle did. All right, Michelle, tell me how you, did you go look online before you?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about the process that you went through when you were shopping for your car.
Well, I read the ratings and reviews of the cars, the types of cars that I was interested in, kind of narrowed down to the brand that I wanted. And then I looked at the options and features and pricing and compared pricing. And so pretty much when I walked into the dealership, I knew exactly the car that I wanted.
You knew the car, even the model?
Everything.
Everything. Okay, guys, that is exactly how they buy our stuff. That is exactly what people do today. And think about the last time you bought something big. Is that not what you did? You looked online, you looked at all the different options, you narrowed them down. At best, you narrowed it down to 2, and then you went to Costco or Best Buy or whatever, and you checked them out, right? Is that what you did? Except for Michelle went one step further. She had already completely figured it out, and the only question was, which dealer was she gonna buy from? Right? This is a big deal. Cobalt also determined that almost 90% of B2B, that's our type of clients that we're selling to in this room, that they are they're rigorously looking online before they get to us, which means you have to. They never even call us is what happens. They never even call us unless we make the cut, right? Unless we end up being the one that Michelle decided was worth looking at, then we don't ever get the call because they weeded us out during the internet process. So this is the big barrier, is that the information that they need to make their decision is not coming from us anymore. It's coming from the internet. Okay, so I'm going to introduce you to, I thought since Tony's a Navy guy, I thought I would add this to the presentation, right? Anybody know who Hyman Rickover is? Admiral Rickover? He's known as the father of the nuclear Navy. And he's most well known for this saying of his, the more you sweat in peace, the less you sweat in war. And he's also famous amongst the military people for having ruthlessly applied this principle to the interview process. And the stories of how he would conduct his interviews are unbelievable. Sometimes he would make them go on for weeks. Sometimes he'd put them in a chair and cut off the first 2 inches of the legs on the front two legs so that the chair would tip forward like this, so they'd have to hold themselves up. The stories go on and on about it. But one of the things he almost always do is he would ask the candidate, he would say, tell me, what topic do you know the most about? What do you know the most about? And then he'd say, but be careful what you say, because whatever you say, I'm going to know more about that topic than you do. Okay? And he would, because by all accounts, Admiral Rickover was a genius. And so he knew a lot about a lot of things. So I tell you that story because of the internet. Our clients now sit in judgment of us the same way that Admiral Rickover would be in judgment of the person he's in the interviewing process. If they have the will to go out and search for the stuff on the internet, it is entirely possible that they know more about our product, our competition, and our market than we do, as long as they are willing to invest the time to figure it out. It's all out there for them to have, okay? That's the big change. So key point number two is that clients no longer need salespeople for product information, okay? For information about products. They don't need us. So we have to reconsider what kind of value we are bringing as salespeople, okay? If all we're doing is providing product information, they don't need you. So that's a sobering thought. That wasn't true 7-8 years ago, right? They needed us to dispense the information. That was the only place they could get it, right? That's also why trade shows have been dying for years, is that they can get all the information that they need off the internet. They don't need to go visit the vendor to get the information, okay? So before this presentation, I quickly did a search on Google for some common terms that we use in our industry. So you can see EHR, 19.9 million hits, right? Returns in less than half a second. Rev cycle management, 3.7 million in less than a third of a second. RCM, almost 23 million, less than half a second. Practice management software, 38 million, a third of a second. Medical record software, 21 million, less than half a second. Interface engine, 30 million, less than half a second. These search engines can find all that information in about a half a second, more than they could ever possibly get. And because of the algorithms that Google uses to look at what people actually click on and then stay on, they, with very reasonable accuracy in the first few pages of results, they're giving those guys exactly what they need, right? That's what the search engine is doing for them. So clients can put together a really clear picture of all the options they have in a really short amount of time now because of that. And the clients that seek the cheapest price, if that's really what they want, they never need to talk to you, right? They can figure that all out before they ever get to you by letting their fingers do the walking. So that brings us to key point number three, which is clients demand value from the sales process itself. So this is one of the really key takeaways from this presentation, is that we need to make the experience of working with us throughout the sales process valuable in and of itself, a lot like you're a consultant delivering value. And we're going to talk about how do you do that? What can I say to the client in that meeting that would add value or insight to them that would make them want to engage with me, whether or not they get our product, right? Because that makes their experience with you inherently valuable. So there's actually several books. This is a pretty hot topic right now. These are two of the books that I use to gather the information for this particular presentation. There are more. And let me just ask, by raise of hands, has anybody read the Challenger Sale, the red book? It's probably the more recent of the two. I know Michelle has. Okay, I'm just going to recommend to you that you get these books. Okay, Challenger Sale by Matt Dixon. Also, you could Google this term and Matthew Dixon. And on YouTube, you'll find at least a dozen presentations that will help you understand. It's not going to tell you what the insight is that you need to deliver, but it'll explain to you the concept. And I'm going to do that today too. And then I'm going to give you a insight, at least one insight, because that's all the time I have for. Okay. All right. So on the bright side, the good news is most clients don't actually want the cheapest price when they study it. What clients want is they want more than just a reverse auction where there's lots of buyers and only lots of sellers and only one buyer. What they want is they want more than a basic understanding of just their challenges. They're looking for insight. They're looking for help. They're looking for guidance. Clients that are searching for business alternatives, they want something that goes beyond just product description, right? And that's mostly what they get on the internet. So there's the silver lining to the internet for us, is it has lots of data, but it doesn't really have the insight. Is that clicking yet? It'll come together in a minute, because data isn't insight, right? And I'm gonna illustrate that with a personal story, but that's key point number four, is data is not insight. Data is not insight, okay? This is my son, his name is Justin, and when my son was 8 years old, third grade, he started going through a whole ton of health problems, okay? He became miserable and started to lose weight. He got big dark circles around his eyes, and we took him to doctor after doctor trying to figure out what was wrong with him. We couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. 2 years later, finally got him diagnosed as having Crohn's, okay? 2 years. He had become a little skeleton boy at this point, and it was a life-threatening situation because he was anemic. And so I went into overdrive, panic. I got to figure out some way to save my boy. And so I started searching like crazy on the internet for everything I could think of now that we had a diagnosis, how to solve this problem. But what I found is that there was unbelievable amounts of data, contradictory data, I might add, about Crohn's. It's just unbelievable amounts of data. So my job was to turn that data that I was gathering into information, into usable information, okay? Now, sidebar, there was a time in sales where clients valued the data, where we could give them the data and they would find that alone valuable. That day is gone, okay? That's not true anymore. Any one of us in this room can grab our phone and go into data overload in a minute, right? By searching on the internet and getting more data than we could possibly handle. We're still trying to decide, well, what does this mean and what does that mean, okay? So data has to be synthesized into information. Data alone isn't good enough, okay? And so after gathering all that information, I synthesized that into some information, but I still was not there. I finally understood Crohn's. I thought I knew what it was and how it worked and its mechanisms in it, but what it didn't have is a path. How am I gonna help my boy now? Now that I have this information, how can I help him? What I needed was insight, right? I needed a clear directive. What's the plan, right, that I'm gonna use? And I'll just share this with you. The disagreement among researchers and doctors on this area is unbelievable. And very disheartening for someone who's desperate like I was, okay? And just like with information, there was a time when clients were happy with data. There was a time when clients were happy with this more distilled version of information, but that's not true anymore either. Because they have the information, they can get it off the internet, okay? What they want is what I needed, insight. They want that insight. Now that I have this information, what does it mean? What does it mean I should do next? What is actionable? That information that I had about Crohn's, how can I use that now to save my son? Okay? And so I'm not gonna tell you all the details, but I will tell you that I ultimately did find a non-steroidal solution, a non-surgical solution for my son. This is him. This is a very recent picture of him. And he's in complete remission today. OK, Okay, complete remission. But he's still kind of shrimpy, right? He's a 14-year-old kid, but we just went on a cruise last year and they kept bringing him the kids menu every time, right? Because he's kind of small because of the Crohn's experience. But we don't have him on steroids. We don't have we're not doing any surgery.